Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We are working with transformation of sadness and overexcitement into their healthy roles, which is that of harmony. So I want to say just a little bit about harmony. It's a quality of the heart, and the heart balances all the chakras below with all the chakras above, the heart chakra, that is. And because of that, it's thought to, in addition to having its own jobs, have the extra job of orchestrating harmony with the humanness, which is represented with the three chakras below, and the divinity, the being, and the qualities that go with that, which are the three chakras in theory above. Yeah, I say in theory because there's a lot of humanness in our chakras above, and I think that there's a lot of divinity in the chakras below. So there is the yin and the yang and everything. There's the balance in everything. And in essence, this is what the heart is doing. It's weighing the balance. It's weighing the opposite. And it's bringing in a sense of where's the center? Where can we locate ourselves amidst even seeming pulls and pushes of life? So I think of I'm just going to add another person here. The heart as creating harmony within oneself. And then that in turn gets reflected externally. So the external harmony is mirrored simply after the work is done internally. It wouldn't be happening out there unless it carried something here within us. That doesn't necessarily come with a side of shame or guilt, but sometimes it is applied with, unfortunately. Because the thing is that experience of that all is meant to be in alignment with the journey that your soul is on in life. And it's not actually meant to mean anything about you as a person or to be personal. We all just have our own unique particular soul paths that are playing out in ways that have been orchestrated to potentially even support finding an even deeper balance. That I can't speak to exactly yet, but that's my general vague sense of it. So, on that note, let's dive on in. We're doing this still in the context of the first couple of astrological houses and all of their particular qualities that we fleshed out in some earlier sessions. So thank you for all the information that's popping up in terms of what you've got going on. I appreciate that. And I know a few of you sent it to me previously. For those of you that are sending me information for the sessions, I mean, you're not doing it necessarily live, I'm going to invite you to, in a way, sort of sum that up with like Cole's notes, like jot points or like a newspaper headline, and give me sort of like the essence of it. You're welcome to share details as well if you like, but if at the end of that you can provide like a little summary so my brain can quickly grab that piece of information, because I'm often weighing a series of inputs from a wide array of sources. So that'll make it more tenable for my brain to process it all and to ultimately be in service of you versus sending me like lengthy updates on a ongoing basis throughout the week or something like that. I'm welcoming those two in their own ways, and just know that for the purpose of the actual session, it's good to have that like short form right before or like the day of the session or the night before is fine too, but just so it doesn't get lost in other communications, if that makes sense. All right, on that note, I'm going to invite us to begin here by making your way, if you haven't already, to some place where you can either sit or lay, be comfy, cozy, and undisturbed for the session. Beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every breath containing this balance means that there's the exhale bringing in the release, the surrender, the letting go. Excuse me. In every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, it's even neutral, taking time to drink it in, to savor it, and to let yourself really rest within it. And then I'm going to invite you on purpose to let your gaze wander either externally or internally, and to locate as well something that feels easeful, beautiful, pleasant to be with. Eyes can be open or closed, whatever feels right for you. And whether you land on something that has a particular thing that you like about its shape, its color, its size, what it reminds you of, or something else. Whatever you land upon, taking a moment to just call into mind a couple of qualities, what it is that brings you joy about that, or potentially just neutrality. And letting those qualities imbue through you and shine through you in a way that lets your, almost like your breath could breathe them in and impact your body as you continue to savor and appreciate them. And then letting your body continuing to savor, notice the impact. And if any part of the body's reception of these qualities feels pleasant, and knowing that there may be a wide array of things that are happening in the body, see if you can locate the pieces that are connected to the item that you've selected and its impact. And whatever that impact is, taking note of particularly the components that feel beautiful, easeful, pleasant to be with. Savoring this too. Taking time to mindfully connect with it. And letting it land just a little deeper into your awareness as the system continues to steep within that. I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to the villages in your lives that have created space for you to be here. To all the effort that you yourself have put into arriving here today. And thank you to your families that created you, to the ancestors that created them, and to the lineage that holds it all. We ask that in today's session, in honor of your intentions, your place where you placed your awareness, to call in what it is you're looking for, in ways that offer insights, rich learnings, and continuously integrating all that's come before in ways that continue to build and layer upon to create a new capacity to hold even more, to hold even more awareness of you. And then we give thanks to the earth that holds us, reminding us what it is to be grounded, connected into our bodies, to feel them along this journey. Thank you to the skies above, giving us connection to open vastness, Thank you to the water that connects us to the very core of us, carrying our emotions, our consciousness. And thank you to the fire, giving rise to our expansion, giving rise to what it is to come alive in the fullest sense of the interweaving of all of these elements as it balances the heart and in turn creates connection and harmony to all of these elements. Thank you. Oh, Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your session today. And as we start off, it's actually going right into, I was already scratching it when I was saying those words, this left eye, and there's this sense of, like a sense of either, it could be one of two things, either a sense of vision that you're holding that isn't just seeming to happen, or a sense of a lack of vision that wants to be held, but you can't quite locate it. And there's this sense of caution around, have I dreamt too big of a dream? And within that, there is fear and sadness interwoven. It's going down into early life. Somewhere in that first, between ages 1 to 2 might be a clearer way to say that. Second year of life, technically, but between ages 1 to 2. And there is a fear here of, have I asked for too much? Have I asked for too much? And it became its little seed, and the seedling that grew from that created a sense of insecurity and doubt, not knowing if that went too far, as well as a insecurity in terms of, am I too much? So here we're running a cellular repair on the left upper chamber of the heart, left atrium, and going into like the upper left quadrant of the whole body, going into left arm, neck, head, face, including the various senses of that eye again, and the ear in particular. And as we run a cellular repair to restore cells back to their fullest potential, we're restoring in particular blood flow to this upper left quadrant of the body and upper left quadrant of the heart alike. And there's a sense of being burdened by creation. Like, how come I'm the one who always has to generate things? Versus finding the delight in creating for just the sheer love of it. There's a sense of being burdened from the outlook of those previous mentioned insecurities. Okay, and as we work with this belief system, I am burdened by creation. We're doing a particularly strong release of sadness. Coming off of left jaw, left heart, including the muscles and the nerves that innervate and are connected to, I'm going to refer to it as the social engagement nervous system. And there's a sense here of being connected to the I am a burden belief system. As in, like, I'm too much for others to bear. I'm a burden. Interesting. And it's going into the times in which you were held as a child and people got fatigued holding you. And and their words landed in the form of, you're getting so heavy, you're getting too heavy. You're getting, even as you grew in age, you're getting too big for me to carry. And there was this imprinting, not just once, but multiple times by multiple people, and primarily caregivers, but others as well. In particular, the family, which became the belief system of, like, I'm too much for this family. I'm too much for this family to hold. I'm too much for this family to be in connection with. I'm too much for this family to be held by. So you can see the interconnections to, I am a burden here. Okay, with this, we're unhooking a bundle of belief systems. In body talk lingo, we might call it a matrix. And it's deeply hooked into those dynamics, held through the kidney meridian, along with the heart. The heart in connection to love and care, but the kidney meridian, in connection to the ancestral lines, the family units. And it's impacting particularly the left lung. And the kidney is meant to, in Chinese medicine, like, help us to inhale, help us to get enough air, help us to receive nourishment of life, force, energy in the form of air. And if the kidneys are weak, then it can feel like maybe we're suffocating, or we have asthma, or we can't breathe as clearly as we would wish. We might be prone to more lung issues as a whole. So as we work with this all, we're also running another cell repair, this time on the kidney meridian's capacity to support that air flowing inwards through that inhale, and helping to anchor your life force energy in a way that keeps you grounded, keeps you connected to your internal body. And as I say that, there's a pretty distinct release of grief beginning to bubble up. Let's see if I can get on video. Right about here in the body. So, let me try to count my ribs there. It's roughly between the fourth and the fifth ribs. Roughly. I'm not the best, honestly, at the palpation of the ribs. So it's roughly around that area. And it's right in body talk, there's the pec major muscle here. And we actually divide it into two components. The top part is in connection more to with the element of earth. And the bottom half is more so connected with the element of wood, which carries a sense of anger, a sense of all the elements of anger, whether that be like contempt, rage, fury, to frustration and irritation. There's this feeling here of being deeply unrooted, deeply disembodied or disconnected because of the destructive nature of the anger that's been held onto. And the anger that's been held onto is that of not feeling connected, which then in turn creates this like loop, which feeds into more anger, which stokes the fires of disconnection, which feeds more contempt, which feeds more disconnection. And it becomes this downward spiral. It becomes this like sinkhole. So we're unhooking that from here. This is also right next door to our center of compassion. And it's like the center of compassion, which is not from body talk, more from breath work, got twisted, and it got not quite adhesion, but not adhesion, and somewhere in between, likely because it's an energy center is how I'm sensing it is, and it's slightly different than a typical adhesion, which might be more physical in nature. And that twist, that torque, got stymied, got Stymied. Interesting word that came out of my mouth there. It got really particularly upset with the lack of being able to connect in a way that felt healthy here. So it created a sense of agitation that depleted compassion. And as we work with that, beginning to release the layers of contempt that are held and are contracting the system and creating a bit of a burden, purposeful use of that word, on the capacity for the lung to breathe and for the heart to function in a way that pumps blood with ease. And again, it's primarily connected to that outlook that we mentioned earlier. Okay, so think of all of this as creating it's almost like a dynamic of stay away from me. It's creating like a boundary, but it's not a healthy boundary. It's creating more of like of a defense in the system, which isn't allowing for the heart to be fully expressed, for the lungs to breathe with ease, for a connection to happen from a different place. So as we work with it in this way, bringing in the energy of the sixth house. I know we're in houses one and two. And we can think of those houses as being like the beginnings of connection internally. And the sixth house is more connection to our outer world. We'll get there when we get there. And I'll talk more about the sixth house down the road. For now, know that the sixth house is also about practicality. It's about having an opportunity to really become aware. There's discernment, there's intellect here. And with that can go at times misinterpretations, miscommunications, a lack of clarity in information. So as we work with this connection to the sixth house, is particularly helping to clean up the lack of clarity or the confusion that's creating that energetic sinkhole through the left side of the chest. As I'll sum it all up. Then we're connecting it, interestingly enough, to the healthy ancestors, the ones who knew how to hold these dynamics in a very different way. The ones that understood what it was to be in connection with, I'm going to say the higher self, the spirit, the element of the divine, whatever you want to refer to it as, the mystery of life. In a way that was supportive and being able to see the connections with humans as a rich resource or a support. In a way that didn't necessarily require active fighting, active fleeing. In a way that those fight-flight responses in our bodies were actually reserved for actual emergencies. Versus getting twisted up in the brain as thinking that other people are this constant source of threat. And the closer they are to us, the more of a threat they may be. Okay, with this, now, doing an emotional release of sadness. I've never really seen it come up quite this way. We're doing it from the second house itself. It's been cluttering up passion. It's been cluttering up the capacity to go after possessions, meaning, I'm going to use that word very loosely. So possessions meaning not just like physical things, the things that you are wanting to manifest in this world could be a possession. How it is you wish to carry yourself refers to your self-possession. And as we clear out sadness from the second house, it's also clearing it out from its element, its quality of its being conservative by nature, wanting to like build up resources in a way that says, like, I'm so tired of having to build things up to prepare for the future. I just want to live right here, right now. I don't want to have to be bored by overworking, by overdoing. by over preparing for that next connection with that person. As we simultaneously release the fear of overwhelm here, along with the sadness component to it, we're also releasing the fear of overwhelm that comes through carrying our passion, carrying our excitement. There's a sense here of expressing that would be dangerous, that somehow other people would be threatened by it. They might other you, meaning they might make you distinct from you in a way that felt painful. And there would be a sense of somehow it feeding disconnection or threatening connection itself. And it's creating a dampening on your willingness to go after the materialism in a good way, the passionate cultivation of possessions. And again, we're going to use that word loosely in a wide array of ways. And getting in the way also of actually socializing in ways that bring up opportunities to potentially deepen into cultivating possessions. Manifesting your passions might be a different way of saying that. And they're both meant to essentially be saying the same thing. Even though it might be tricky for our minds to wrap our minds around that all. At the same time as all of that, in parallel, as we call it in Body Talk, it's working with this idea that it's your job to cheer up sad people. In particular, sad men. So it's your job to not let sad men be sad. It's your job to somehow entertain them, keep them happy. You get the idea. And it looks like it's going all the way back to your relationship with, or lack thereof, which is its own form of sadness, but you may be aware of it through the energy of simply being in connection to dad. So this is true whether dad was a sperm donor, a foster dad, or a hands-on living in-person dad. There was an energetic connection to him and his own sadness. And you feeling like it was your job to make him happy. Which in turn fed your incapacity, it just, those dynamics don't set the stage for us to receive. To help us be in connection with someone to make us feel held as we sort out our emotions around sadness. And it's like it set the stage for you to have to be the one to do the work in your relationships with men. And that you were the one that was responsible for it. To whatever degree that's playing out, some of you might be like, oh yes, that is totally my pattern. Some of you might be a little bit confused, like going, I'm not sure how that applies. And it might be happening on a more subconscious level. Or it may be happening in ways that your system isn't quite ready to digest consciously yet. Or it may be happening in a more subtle flavor of that dynamic. I've described it, as I often do, with some drama in there. And as we do that, doing an emotional release of sadness from the jaw itself, I can feel almost like a yawn coming. And it's around the incapacity to really let your guard down or relax, because you're always supposed to be on duty to note any particular levels of sadness, cultivate a different way, be responsible for giving them the right tools to make their way through it, or to just simply switch up the energy in the moment. Okay. As I say that, there's a little bit of unwinding now, more so from the right side of the upper heart, the right atrium, going up into, as well, like the right upper quadrant of the body, including arm, shoulder, upper back, neck, face, head. Okay, with this, it's also connecting into like this yawn. I'm actually not tired. I actually had even had time for a nap earlier this morning, which is like unheard of sometimes. I'm actually feeling quite rested. But it's connected to the yawn. It's the type of yawn that, again, just helps to calm energy down. We see this in the animal kingdom all the time. In fact, I sometimes will fake a yawn if I'm working with an animal, or my own animals need a little bit of just calming things down. My dog is listening to this, so I'm outing myself totally in this moment. And to give them calming behavior signals, which include the yawn in the animal kingdom. It's also a really slow blink. And even this is particular more so to dogs and cats, but licking. Those calming signals begin to activate a sense of safety at an instinctual level. It helps to renegotiate our instincts, which quite frankly get compromised along the way in life. They get developmentally disrupted. So we sometimes have to renegotiate, I'm going to say, our survival instincts. Because they were shaped in the past by overwhelm. They were shaped by chaos in our childhood. They were shaped by patterns that were strategies to get your needs met at one point in time, but may no longer be necessary. Okay, and this one is actually connecting us to, and this is, it sort of came up last week. Well, it came up last week. And I sort of didn't necessarily give the best explanation. I didn't feel around it. It's actually the instinct for healthy narcissism. Let me explain that with better wording, if I can. So in this moment, I might think of it as it's a realistic sense of our self-worth and our self-confidence. It helps us to be able to take pride in what we've done without a need for it being worshipped or grandiosity. It helps us to, yes, advocate for our needs and set our boundaries, and to enjoy when people give you attention or even validation or appreciation without necessarily requiring it to feel good about yourself. And in turn, can also help us to become resilient to other people's thoughts and ideas about us without having to defend them or be critical of them or be crushed by them. So it's we become resilient to criticism with reciprocity, either their criticism or our own in retaliation of. Without healthy narcissism, we get rooted in typically insecurities where we become deprecating of ourselves, or we get rooted in grandiosity, thinking, well, I'm the best of this. People should be coming to me for these things. Why aren't they coming to me? Or I know better than others. To say that we impair empathy here is accurate. So we're working with the instinct to cultivate healthy narcissism here, which also in turn will impact empathy for yourself as well as empathy for others, because it happens in both directions simultaneously. If you're familiar with attachment theory, this would go with healthy, secure attachments in childhood. And if the word healthy narcissism is too much to tolerate, you could dial that back into the phrase of just simplicity, the simpleness, pardon me, of self-love, which carries a unique simplicity. Okay, loves, we're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe, invitation to receive. Okay, just giving that a slow deep breath. I'm just checking out that left eye again, which is sort of where we began. And this time, we're actually going to go into bladder one acupuncture point, which hangs in the inner corner of the eye. And it helps us to see the present moment of clarity. We're linking that to lung one acupuncture point, which hangs out on the outer corner, upper corner of the shoulder, the front of it. Which helps us to connect to our new beginnings. And as we work here with bladder one to lung one, we're going to cultivate its connection to the very center of the crown, which carries the roots of our habit patterns, the roots of how it is we can transcend old habit patterns and cultivate new ones. So it's working in a way to see with clarity the new beginning of each moment, being a new opportunity, a new portal to turn over old cycles, to allow a fresh new start to begin. And it's linking into the dynamics of all things first house here. As we do that, we're releasing sadness around, I'm going to say, the left throat region as a whole, including the left tongue. And it's working with overly assertive or overly energetic or thinking that you need to overly emphasize expression in order to be received. For others of you, it's going to go the other way, and you're going to maybe have the opposite where it feels like you got to shut that right down in order to be received. Some of you will have both. I'm pretty sure I do. Let me say that differently. I do. So, as we work with this through the center of expression, we're just simply running the permissions, and the permissions here are simple and deep all at the same time. And the words here are, that was not okay. That was not okay. And as we work with it from that potentially, I'm going to say point where we can connect to the most emotion by wording it in the negative on purpose. That wasn't okay. Begins to set the stage to pave for new boundaries, which is much like a new beginning that help us, and I'm going to say boundaries help us to see things with clarity, and they help us to break up old habit patterns with greater ease. And it's interesting, we were working with lung one. First house works with the lung. And we're actually working with this energy to circulate energy. Helping to move that connection of vitality as it connects to the kidneys. And the system's meant to circulate that through your very blood, through your very life force energy. Through your internal fire, so to speak. So we can think of the lungs as almost like fanning the flames of the heart, much like I had a moment of those old school fireplaces that I grew up with as a kid, and you might still have one. I was in a house not too long ago with a friend that had them, that was like bellows that were meant to like bring fresh air into the fire. And think of this as the lungs bringing energetic, fresh air into the heart space to actually fan the flames of the passion that's meant to live here. It's meant to cultivate harmony on a much deeper level and to nourish the heart and creating that harmony through the lungs and their capacity to again circulate energy in the system as a whole. To support this, we're just simply running the permissions. It's safe to be alive now. It's safe to be alive now. It is safe to be alive now. Vitality, aliveness are meant to come not just through heart, but also through the second chakra, the sexual chakra. And it's possible to support this connection of vitality between the heart chakra and the sexual chakra. We invite you to breathe into the side body in the region between your heart and your sexual chakra. Your side body brings in stability. So I think of this as helping to stabilize this connection of vitality through your entire system. So let me try to get a better angle on that. You may place your hands, and you can do it however you like. For me, it's easier to use the back of my hands and the side body. And see if you can, by means of breathing, just expand your side body. You may do that for like the area that's a little bit higher, right by that heart. And then just begin to slowly make your way down, deepening the breath and expanding it through the side body all the way down. I've got a very short body, so it takes me like 3 hand placements to get there. For others, it'll probably be like 4 or 5. All the way until you get till that sexual chakra. And as you expand that side body, it creates space, it creates a room, it creates stability within spaciousness without necessarily needing tight, rigid patterns to hold things in place anymore. And we're going to tap this part out here. So invitation to breathe and to receive. Okay, giving that a slow deep breath. Make that 2 or 3 slow deep breaths. We're gonna let that have some space to integrate. Okay. And then I see the sexual chakra. It's like, oh, hey there. I was waiting to be acknowledged a little bit more. We need to bring in circulation of all the healing resources, bringing in blood that carries that passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down to all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that are meant to lower inflammation and anxiety and depression within the system, and particularly our nervous system and our immune system, but really all the way through. Along with the yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and the yang, the masculine essence of protection and hydration. Helping the cells take in water, enjoy, and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. As we do that for the sexual chakra, it's linking its vitality into the heart, allowing for that upper left and upper right quadrant alike, connecting into the upper left quadrant of the body and upper right quadrant of the body, to be met from a place of fueled resources, fueled nourishments, fueled vitality. We're tapping this out here. Interesting. Breathing here. Interesting that it's essentially its own tap out. See if you can breathe right into that sexual chakra between the navel and the pubic bone, or the top of the pubic bone more so. Excuse me. There's that yawn. Giving that a slow, deep breath, letting things continue to integrate here again. Okay, then it's showing me not quite the base of the throat, but just up a little bit, like a couple inches up from that. And a sense of being 7 years old and being frozen because of the external noise. Like, parents had a big fight and there was lots of yelling. And there was a sense of not wanting to contribute to that. So a shutting down of the throat here. And in turn, a shutting down of your voice. And in turn, a shutting down of your expression. And a cultivation of sadness and feeling like a loss of how do I even begin to be myself again. And it became like a disruption within the first house, a disruption between the persona and the physical body. And the first house is meant to connect these two. The personality is meant to enmesh within the physical form for its expression, in the physical form, is meant to be the vehicle upon which your personality rides. And they're meant to be in service to one another. Much like the same way the body and the mind are meant to be in service with each other, we just need to find the right order. And that's meant to happen. It's like we're coming full circle. Instinctually, as long as your instincts weren't damaged in some way, shape, or form. Most of us, like I was saying earlier, have had developmental disruptions within our instincts and their formation. So how do we begin to renegotiate them? It's almost like catching yourselves in the middle of a habit. So when we have like an urge to make something better for somebody else, the urge to please them, can we just take a moment, if we can catch it, to breathe versus leaping to do it? If we have an impulse to sort of shut down or withdraw or not be in connection, can we like talk about it? Can we just say that for what it is? Can you like name it and share it and see if there's something else available or possible? And in a way, it's painstaking work because it's asking us to become exquisitely aware of this beginning activations in your body so that you can actually pause before those old neural pathways begin to carry things away and carry them in a different direction. And as we renegotiate our instincts, it's also meant to be relational. Our patterns often are seen in connection with others more than they are when we're alone. So when we like find that partner or we have those experiences with a person, it has a tendency to really shine a flashlight on our own stuff. And even just the act of opening ourselves up to being in connection to another can ignite a series of like previously held fears of being like abandoned or neglected or taken over, smothered, engulfed. So when we share and we're able to vulnerably like state out loud what that thing is, I notice I want to like stop this and shut down right here, for example, then we can bring our instinct into a different way of being with it. I mean, it comes to light and it's seen for what it is, just simply an instinct, which gives us enough space often just to allow for co-regulation and to be met by somebody else instead of judged in the same way. And in doing so, we cultivate the body's innate wisdom to help us to guide ourselves into new possibilities. And here we're just simply running the permissions. It's safe to choose again. Meaning like it's safe to make a choice of any sort again, whether it's the same one, a different one. It's safe to experiment and play with something new here. It's safe to choose again. And there's like sort of like a second related permissions here. And the words here are, you have the capacity now. You may not have back then, but you have it now. And you have the capacity now. And as I say that, I see the entire part of the brain in the upper region that lives above the sphenoid, which goes from temple to temple. If we can imagine that going like more 3D internally, that was not maybe the best wording there. But it goes inside the head brain, and the part of the brain that's above it is like literally lighting up like a Christmas tree right now. I see it as just creating mental awareness, which may begin to fuel a sense of vitality in the mind. And I'm also seeing that being mirrored in the hips and creating like a foundation for vitality to be built upon, to come alive within. Primarily for you, and then from there, others down the road. And as see this unfolding, it's connecting into the kidney meridian and the longing of the desires of those that came before you for wanting these things, and then almost in a sense of like feeling like, oh, we didn't get to do that. They're living on through you. So as you do this not just for you, you're also doing this for your entire ancestry and for those who couldn't do this before. Okay, we're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe. To receive. Giving that a slow, deep breath. If it helps, drawing on the resource that you found earlier. And it's actually coming up to play the song, Voices in the Stone. So many of you play that one. It's by a series of artists. Porringui, Liquid Bloom, there's a bunch of them. So I'll just put the link into the the chat feature here for y'all. It's a longer one. It's just over 4 minutes, which might be necessary for us to steep and rest with all that's processing here. So breathing here and receiving here. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you for the medicine that each and every one of you carry and your contribution to this group. And thank you, thank you, thank you for your humanness and exploring it in these ways with all your curious energies. blessings on the rest of your day and your week ahead. And yeah, interesting to hang out with y'all at this time. It's like been so in my rhythm to be at like in my time zone 9:01 and 9:01. So I'll be curious to see what it's like for y'all and to receive any feedback about that. You're most welcome, everybody, and I look forward to next week. And happy integrating. If anyone needs any additional support after today's call, you're welcome to stay on and happy to chat with you further. I'll stop the recording here. Mwah. Bye for now, loves.